From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Well, let the madness begin, folks. Today is the day round one of the NCAA tourney has just tipped off. I hope you have your brackets filled out and your pools all set and ready. And if you're like me, I waited to the last minute about an hour or so ago. I finished all of my brackets. I filled out about, I want to say, five or six, something like that. Yeah, I'm pretty crazy like that. But, yeah, I hope you guys got your brackets all set as a few games are already in progress as we speak. At halftime, Ohio State is facing a three-point deficit to Dayton, 33-30 right now in that one. And also American and Wisconsin are also in action as Wisconsin is down 7 points with about 9 minutes left in the first half. Huh, interesting. So right now, two Big Ten teams are down in the tourney, but hey, this is March Madness, and it's only the beginning of both of these games, so we'll see how that pans out. We'll be giving you updates on both of those games and others as they ensue. But yeah, I love this time of the year, folks. And later on in today's show, we are opening up our phone lines, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And we're going to talk about, you know, just give our final thoughts and predictions as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Of course, Michigan State, they will tip off around 4:40 p.m. And also Wofford and Michigan at 7:10 p.m. And also Western Michigan. Cannot forget about WMU, folks, as they tip off at 2:45 against Syracuse. That should be an interesting game. But later on, we're going to give our final thoughts and predictions on the tournament, as well as discuss whether or not the NCAA tournament is the greatest spectacle that we have in sports today. Huh. So what do you think about that? 517-355-9527. Now, I also don't want to get you confused out there, because throughout this entire show, we are giving away really sexy footballs that we just got here at WKAR. Of course, it is Pledge Week here on WKAR, and we are asking you to call in at 517-355. Well, see, that number is stuck in my head. See, I'm not confused. You guys, 517-353-5000. That's a different number, folks. 517-353-5000. And with your contribution of $75 or more to WKAR Radio, you will receive a Michigan State Spartans 2014 Rose Bowl Champions souvenir football. We just got them here in the Current Sports Studio. They are pretty, pretty nice. It has the Michigan State football logo along with listing each and every game that the Spartans play this season on their way to that Rose Bowl Championship, the incredible 13-1 season. Really, really nice. Two panels are made of leather, and the other two are paved in white with the Rose Bowl Game Championship logo. It's really, really nice football, really nice gift to have, a really nice souvenir to remember the incredible season that was for the Michigan State football team. Again, with your contribution of $75 or more to WKAR Radio, you can receive this limited edition football. Now, you got to act quickly, though, because supplies are certainly limited. We only have a small amount of these footballs left. So, again, you can make your contribution simply by picking up the phone and calling 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000. They are really, really nice and sexy. I wish I had one of these myself, I tell you. So definitely you can do that, and you will receive that gift. So, okay, well, let's kick off the show, ladies and gents. In just a sec, later on in today's show, I would be remiss if I didn't say a heartfelt thank you to everyone who came out to last night's WKAR TV recording of Current Sports last night. Boy, was it a fun time. A jam-packed crowd yesterday. It was so jam-packed. We actually had to bring in additional seats into the TV studio to accompany everyone. It was a great time with Dwayne Herring and the Grand Ledge Gymnastics team and everyone that came out to support that episode. You can can catch that episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. And also, for those of you who are so dedicated to listening to Current Sports Radio each and every weekday, we're going to play that interview later on in today's show, right after our quick hit headliner. So you don't want to miss that. It was such a compelling interview with Dwayne as he talked about his stress levels and the incredible 106 straight meet accomplishment. I mean, it was unbelievable to hear, you know, how he deals with the how he dealt with that pressure of trying to keep that streak going and how that streak started. So you'll get to hear that in just a second. But in the meantime, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 20th. Tourney time, baby, 2014. Okay, again, the tourney starts today. Let the madness begin. Again, I hope you all have your brackets filled out and did not wait to the last minute. Again, quick update as far as our local teams are concerned. Michigan State, they will take on Delaware at 4:40 p.m. Western Michigan takes on Syracuse at 2:45 p.m. And Western Michigan University will take on we just stated that. See, my notes are screwed up here. And Michigan will take on Wofford at 7:10 p.m. So there you have it. MSU, Delaware, 4:40. Western Michigan and Syracuse, 2:45. And Michigan and Wofford at 7:10 p.m. Well, that should be a good one there. Okay, Monte Ross, folks. The 202 area code. Don't know it? Ignore it. I always do that. I'm a victim of this all the time. If someone calls me and I don't know the number, I definitely will. You might hear my voicemail. I do that all the time. It's a bad habit I have. And Monte Ross, who is the head coach of Delaware that MSU will be taking on later on today, he kind of has the same mindset. Now, a 202 number, area code actually called him. And it turns out that 202 area code is in Washington, D.C., and turned out it was Vice President Joe Biden on the other line. Now, good thing Biden, a former U.S. senator from Delaware, left a message. Now, this is what Ross said Wednesday in Spokane Arena, again, where they would take on Michigan State today. Quote, "We're getting ready for our championship game against William & Mary, and I get a phone call on my phone. We were at breakfast the day of the game, and I looked down at my phone. I never answer my phone on game day, and I see it was a 202 number, so I just pressed ignore. But I listened to my messages, and I had a voice message from Vice President Biden. He was calling to wish us luck. Bad move to ignore the vice president. Really bad move." That's a hilarious story. So, again, that's from Monte Ross, who is a very, very funny guy. He's the head coach at Delaware, and ignored a VP call. That's hilarious stuff. Okay, again, playing games last night. Cal Poly, losers of 19 games this season, cruise to an 81-69 win over Texas Southern to reach the field of 64 in the NCAA tournament. Chris Everly's 19 points led the Mustangs, who overcame a 38-point explosion from Texas Southern's Eric Murphy. Now, Cal Poly will face Wichita State on Friday. In the second game, Tennessee outlasted Iowa in overtime, winning 78-65. Iowa jumped out to a 16-4 lead and saw Adam Woodbury score 16 points, but Roy Devin Marble, 7 points on 3 of 15 shooting, eventually spelled their doom. Now, Jordan McRae, he led the Vols with 20. Tennessee will play UMass on Friday. And Michigan's coach, John Beilein, who guided the Wolverines to regular season Big Ten title despite losing National Player of the Year Trey Burke, and it hasn't gone without recognition. Beilein has been named a finalist for the National Coach of the Year Award. He's joined by Virginia's Tony Bennett, SMU's Larry Brown, Florida's Billy Donovan, and Wichita State's Greg Marshall. Now, the winner will be announced on April 6th at the Final Four in Dallas, Texas. And an update when it comes to boys high school hoops, the Pomona Westphalia Pirates, they are facing Muskegon Heights in the state semis at the Breslin Center as we speak. Tip-off was at 1 p.m. We will keep you updated throughout this hour on that. This is for the right to play in the Class C state championship title on Saturday. And even though I may be here in the Current Sports Radio studio, we do have someone covering that game from WKAR, so we'll have all of the post-game reaction and game footage of that one on WKAR.org later on today. And again, we'll keep you updated on how that matchup is going. And the Pistons, they lost their 11th consecutive road game in Denver last night, falling to the Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, 118-109, missing center Andre Drummond. The Pistons allowed the Nuggets to shoot 51% from the floor and see seven players reached double figures. Absolutely no defense from the boys in the red, white, and blue. Now, Josh Smith was also ejected in the third quarter for arguing with officials over the calls, and the Pistons will visit the Phoenix Suns for their next game on Friday night. And a former Piston, Clifford Robinson, otherwise known as Uncle Cliffy, to Detroit Pistons fans, has officially been knocked off the island. Yes, Cliff was booted off of the show Survivor on CBS with a 4-3 vote. So there you have it, Uncle Cliffy. I love Uncle Cliff. He was a great player when he was with the Pistons. But yeah, he's been booted off Survivor. So there you have that. And the Red Wings, puck drops tonight for the Red Wings at 7:30 p.m. as they host the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pens are coming off back-to-back home losses over the weekend, and the Wings are fighting for their 23rd straight trip to the postseason. And Lions president Tom Luan said in an interview on WJR today that he and Sue's agent Jimmy Sexton are planning to meet next week at the owners' meetings in Orlando. And Detroit wants to keep Sue in Detroit long term, but doing so would lower his cap for this season in order to sign its draft class and have extra cap heading into the upcoming season. So those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can call in and do that. And also, you can also, if you're not by a phone or happen to be at work, you can also tweet me at LMartinWKR or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And I have to remind you all that throughout this entire hour, if you call this number, 517-353-5000, and support Current Sports with a contribution of $75 or more to WKAR Radio, you will receive a Michigan State Spartans 2014 Rose Bowl champion souvenir football. It is a really, really nice football. It's, like I said, two panels are leather. Two panels commemorate the Rose Bowl championship that was for Michigan State football. A really, really nice souvenir gift. Again, you got to act quickly, though, because supplies are limited. We only have a limited amount of these one-of-a-kind footballs. You can do so, again, a contribution of $75 or more to WKAR Radio by calling 517-353-5000. And they are really, really sexy. You definitely want one of these in your trophy case at home. Okay, well, let's shift gears really quick. To kick off today's show, we're going to talk a little GL Gymnastics. The Grand Ledge Gymnastics team are one of the greatest teams that Michigan has ever seen. They actually just ended an incredible streak of, get this, again, I have to pinch myself every time I say it, 106 consecutive meets won. No other gymnastics team for that matter, has done that in the history of Michigan high school sports, but Grand Ledge has. And they were my guest on last night's Current Sports TV taping. Dwayne Herring, the incredible coach that has led this team to complete dominance. Now, unfortunately, that streak ended at 106, but Dwayne joined me last night to talk about it. Again, that episode will air tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV, but you're in for a treat. If you happen to be busy that night or that's past your bedtime, you will get to hear that interview right now. And I actually start off that interview by asking Dwayne, oh, man, what that streak means to him and what, you know, looking back at the streak, what will he remember the most about 106 consecutive straight?
How I've been blessed with a bunch of awesome athletes. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the awesome athletes, the 106 would have never happened.
When you look at, you know, again, that streak, when it comes to consistency, year after year after year, how have you been able to build a program like this?
We started out back in like 2001 and 2 with a very dedicated, determined team that brought me along. Right. And I remember in 2003 and 4, you know, when they graduated and moved on, they said, don't stop. They said, keep it going. They told myself that and the gymnast coming up. Mm-hmm. And by gosh, they've done that.
They certainly have. You know, something that stands out. Actually, when I first started covering high school sports in this area, you and I, we, you know, I did a feature on you. And I remember interviewing you. And something that stood out to me was that, you know, the streak at that point, it wasn't triple digits yet. I think it was around 80 or 90. And I was talking to you, And you told me that we try to not think about the streak. We try to put it on the back burner and put it in the back of our heads and take it the cliche saying, one meet at a time. But you also said that when it came to your gymnast, they did not want to be that team to break that streak and be on that losing team. When that loss did happen to Canton, how did you approach your team and what did you tell them?
Well, we had a very good team this year, but we had some injuries. So we knew going down the stretch it was going to be tough for us. And they're just a class act. I don't know. That's all I can say after they lost, they went over to Canton, shook their hands, said congratulations.
But there, in sports, there's always something, a lesson that can be learned, away from the sport. I mean, what did you teach them? I mean, because, my dad always taught me, you got to learn how to win just as much as you got to learn how to lose. What did you tell them?
Throughout the years, I mentioned to them every now and then that, this isn't going to go on forever.
Exactly.
And when we do lose, we lose, just like we win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the streak wasn't going to go on forever. We knew that. And when you lose, congratulate the other team. Tell them for what a great job you did.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that. I was very proud of them.
When the streak was going on, you guys were winning meet after meet after meet. I'm pretty sure, now I know you won't admit this on camera, but I'm pretty sure the pressure had to be a little, kind of hot, because you're chasing perfection meet after meet. Is it kind of good now that the pressure is off a little bit now? Because you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, it is. That's a good question, because it is. Because I felt in practice the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and at meets, I was pretty intense. And because we wanted to keep the streak going as long as we could.
And you were, as a coach.
Well, the whole team wanted to keep it going.
As far as the intensity goes.
Yeah, but myself as a coach, I felt like maybe, I was too intense at times because of the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a good thing. Maybe it was a bad thing. I don't know. But but anyways, now maybe we can relax a little bit and not have to worry about it.
Speaking of intensity, it's a March Madness right now, Dwayne. And the talk of the town right now is, of course, the Michigan State men's basketball team. It was a pretty cool feature. I don't know if 12 minutes you guys have seen this, but Tom Izzo, he linked up with Sports Science with ESPN and also Nightline. And they monitored Tom Izzo's heart rate, his adrenaline levels, his stress levels throughout an entire game. And at one point, his heart rate had like doubled and tripled during one point in the game. It was against against Illinois. And, it got me thinking about, just coaches in general. When you're chasing perfection, like a squad that Tom Izzo has. I mean, this men's basketball team has certainly made headway, just as your Grand Lakes gymnastics team. It's got to be stressful. How do you deal with and cope with that stress?
Well, I guess it depends on what event we're on, because if the girls are on beam, it's all up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of stand there. I kneel next to a springboard, and my shirt is moving because my heart's beating so fast.
Right.
It's all up to them at that point.
Right.
Where I start to feel a little more pressure, and I don't know why, it's vault.
Right.
Because I'm always running down from one end of the vault, running way down to the other, making sure the board is set, making sure the table is set.
Yeah.
And I just feel a lot of stress in vault. I don't know why, but I just do. The rest of it's kind of easy.
Gotcha. For your girls, I mean, they're just giving up for the Grand, because they're sitting right here in the audience, the Grand Lakes Girls and National Team. Such an incredible group of young ladies. For them, moving forward now, because I talked to them before we started this segment, and, you just have two seniors on this team this season. What makes this team so dynamic compared to others in the past that you've had?
Well, the team we have this year is pretty young. Just like you said, two seniors, no juniors.
Right.
And I like how the freshmen, came up mm-hmm. and really helped us.
And how many freshmen do you have?
I think six.
Six freshmen. Gotcha. So for them, dealing with a young team, I mean, how do you try to combat that as the season goes on, as a coach?
You mean try to keep them going? I think that the seniors and the sophomores that we're on, we got a streak going. You guys better help us keep it going. So they motivate themselves.
Right. It's not hard at all.
No, they motivate themselves.
And speaking of motivation, it's got to be pretty cool because this audience that we have here, I always say this, Grand Ledge, they travel. You guys travel great. I mean, when it comes to anything, no matter what sport it is, no matter what event it is, it's got to be pretty easy for you as a coach to be a coach right here in the Grand Ledge community. I mean, how is it to coach for a team like Grand Ledge?
The community is super supportive. The school's supportive. Mm-hmm. The parents, I can't say enough about our gymnastics parents. I mean, oh my gosh, if it wasn't for them, I'm not sure that the program, you know, would keep going, because it takes a lot to keep the whole gymnastics program going with setting up equipment, taking it down, meets.
Right, exactly.
It's a big commitment.
It makes it easier, though, for you to do your job, seeing all that support that's dumped into right?
Oh,
without a doubt. Now, you know, throughout your career, Dwayne, you also spent 2 years under Michigan State Grand Ledge coach Kathy Klages, who
right.
we actually had on this show at the very beginning of Current Sports. She's such an inspiration, such a great coach. What have you learned being under Kathy that has helped you in your coaching at Grand Ledge?
Well, I was out there in 2005, 2006. I was a volunteer assistant out there, and I coached. And, you know, Kathy, at no time, I mean, did she ever have her thumb on me saying, don't do that. She just kind of let me go and coach. But I kind of sat back and I just watched how the whole college thing, mm-hmm. you know, worked and how organized it was. I learned a lot just by standing back and just watching how they did things.
What was the biggest difference between the high school level of gymnastics compared to, you know, the Michigan State program?
It's faster. Uh-huh. I mean, meets are a lot faster, and, you know, the gymnasts are a lot quicker. And besides that, I don't, you know, I mean, gymnastics is gymnastics.
Right, right. You know,
they throw bigger skills.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I'm definitely, without a doubt. Now, success breeding popularity, Dwayne. Your team has been so successful over the years that is it hard at all? I mean, you talked about, you got a lot of freshmen on your team as well. I mean, it's not hard to get girls to come out to you know, be a part of your team. Is that safe to say? I mean, success breeding popularity for your program?
Well, gymnastics, a lot of people like gymnastics, okay? Until they get into it and they figure out how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's easier to go play another sport than it is to do gymnastics. Because how I look at it is they train four sports. Because you don't train vault like you do box.
Exactly.
Okay, and you don't do floor like you do beam. And so when they come to practice, they're actually practicing four sports. So we've had kids in the past that they come on for a couple months, and then they find out how hard it is and how hard the conditioning is.
Right.
And they go, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm going to walk away from this. Besides being hard to conquer some of these skills, you have to be very brave.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine yourself going out there and flinging your body around a bar.
Oh, I couldn't do that, I tell you that. I'm going to stick to this. But, yeah, I know I couldn't do that at all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenging thing. And, you know, you just alluded to it. You know, and another thing that stood out during that sit-down when we had that feature on you was that you talk about being committed to something. Those who do look at it and say, you know, that's too difficult, and do walk away, you put an emphasis on once you start something, you got to finish it. Is that a message that's resonated throughout your entire program?
Well, it's easy to walk away from anything. I mean, you start college, and you get some tough classes, so you're just going to walk away?
Right, exactly.
No, so they get into this program. We try to say, hey, listen, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a huge time commitment, and you make up your mind you want to do it. If not, you know, you might...
Right.
Yeah.
Fall by the wayside, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to say that to be mean. It's just if you're going to run
life.
A program, run a program.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's a life lesson because, you know, life isn't easy.
Exactly.
And as they go through their 4 years, it's going to be tough. And I don't know. I just think at the end, maybe they realize that I stuck with this, and it was really hard.
Right.
And so it prepares them maybe for what's coming down the road.
Dwayne, you know, I love asking coaches this question because you can really feel just the emotion and the passion behind this question. I want to ask you, what's the most gratifying part of what you do?
Watching the athletes get skills. I'm serious. They come in and they're learning a release move, a bail from the high bar to the low bar. They are scared to death. And you spot them, you work with them, and next thing you know, they're doing it by themselves.
Right.
And that just makes my day. Or a vault, you know, you work really hard to get a vault.
Right.
And, I mean, they try so hard, and they fall a lot, and they crash, and sometimes they crash hard. but they get up, and then they put the first one on their feet, and you go, oh, my gosh. That's just, I just love that.
Gotta love that. Any favorite memory throughout your entire tenure at Grand Ledge so far?
There's been quite a few, but I remember State Meet 2006.
Mm-hmm.
we were down, and we finished on bars. And we had to have a good bar rotation mm-hmm. in order to win this thing.
Right.
And there was two girls that all year, they didn't stand up to bar dismounts. Mm-hmm. And everybody did a wonderful job on bars. And these two young ladies, they did the bar dismounts, put them on their feet. And it was a pretty spectacular day. I'll always remember that day.
Gotta love that, Dwayne. Now, Dwayne, before we let the 12th man get at you, your team is actually going to throw some questions at you.
That could be dangerous.
That could be very dangerous. But before I do, I got to ask you, I mean, when a student leaves your program and enters the venture of life, when they look back at their time with you and the Grand Lance Gymnastics team, what do you want them to take away and remember about you and the program?
Well, I want them to take away that we started out with a goal, a purpose, and we ended there. We didn't give up any time in between. And hopefully, I mean, if they, you know, ever think about their coach, hopefully it's that, you know, the coach never gave up on them. And we started this for 4 years, and we ended it together after your 4 years.
Gotta love it. That's a great message. Give it up for that, guys. All right, Dwayne. Well, you got 5 more minutes. You got 5 more minutes, right? You're not doing anything else. The 12th man is about to get at you. The 12th man starts right now. All right, well, Dwayne, it is time for the 12th man, where we're going to take questions from our live studio audience right here at our WKAR-TV studios. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Our first question comes from a Taylor. Taylor, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports. She's so excited right now. She's in awe right now. Thank you. What's your question, Taylor?
Okay, Dwayne, what would you do if you didn't coach gymnastics?
My wife wouldn't be as mad at me as much. No, you know, I don't know. I'd probably get a part-time job or something. I don't know.
Nothing. No other hobbies or anything?
But I don't know. I've just coached gymnastics for so long. It's just a part of my life now.
Gotcha. Wow, so, it's really ingrained.
Oh, yeah.
Give it up for Taylor. Great question, Taylor. All right. Next, we have Allison. Allison, how are you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. What's your question?
My question is, what would you say the main key to your success is? And actually, I have one more. What do you think your heart rate was on vault at the state championship this year?
Well, the first question, or the first answer, the success comes from the athletes that come into the program. If you get an athlete and they just want to go through the motions, if they don't really want to learn anything or say, hey, you know, I want to get these skills this year, next year I want to get these skills, so you're like climbing a ladder, so they hit the top on their senior year, you won't be very successful as a sport, as a coach. It comes from the athletes. The next question is, it was really high. I mean, I'm an old guy. It's like I didn't start having chest pain.
That's healthy in a way, though. I mean, it's stress. Well, no, never mind. It's stress. No stress in your life. Okay. Thanks so much. Give it up for Allison. Great question. All right. Next, we have Presley. How you doing, Presley? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm good, thank you.
And what's your question, Presley?
My question is, what is the hardest part about coaching a girls' sport?
That's a good question.
Wow.
Stumped.
I can't say it's just the sport of gymnastics. I think all, you know, girls' sports, especially in high school, you know, it comes in with drama. I mean, they're leaving eighth grade. They're going into ninth grade. You know,
they got boyfriends and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they got this big campus now. They got to try to figure out, you know, where their rooms are, and
right.
You know what? They just have more freedom,
right.
And so I mean, it's a new world to them. So the first couple of years, just drama, trying to keep the drama straight, saying, you know, don't bring that, you know.
Right. You know, keep it at the door.
At the door. You know, leave that in your car when you get out. When you come in here, I don't want it.
Gotcha. That's a good question, Presley. Thank you. Get up for Presley. Good question. And you gotta love this question, Dwayne. Grace, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, Grace. You all right?
Yeah.
And what's your question? What is your question, Grace?
Puppy, can you teach me gymnastics?
Can you teach Grace gymnastics?
I would love to teach you gymnastics.
Gotta love that. So you stay
I would love to do that.
That is great. Give it up for Grace. Thank you, Grace. Such a great moment. So now, Dwayne, it is now the off season for you all. I mean, does the preparation for next season start right now?
Well, you know, some of the kids like to stay in the gym. Mm-hmm. There's rules you have to go by.
Right, of course.
You know, MSHA has rules and that kind of stuff. But when they can, they like to get in the gym. They like to keep their skills up. Remember I was telling you a little while ago about the fear thing?
Right. Yeah.
They work so hard to get skills. And then if they take a super long time off, that fear comes back. And you're starting all over again.
Because you're not consistent.
Exactly. Some of these skills, because, you know, a lot of the gymnasts out there throw some pretty big skills, and Grand Ledge has been known over the years to throw some pretty big skills.
Right.
And if you're away from it very long, you lose it, or you start getting, you know, some fear thoughts going on.
Right.
And it's like you're starting over. So they like to get in the gym as much as they can to keep those skills up so they don't lose them for next year.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, Dwayne, you and your program are certainly admirable. I love, you know, hearing all the good news and the good things you guys do throughout the course of the season. I wish you luck moving forward. So thanks a lot, Dwayne.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Again, that was Dwayne Herring, the Grand Ledge Gymnastics head coach. Dwayne, I had a great time with him last night, and the entire Grand Ledge Gymnastics team came out along with, I feel like the entire Grand Ledge community came out to be a part of that audience. It was a great time. Again, you can catch that episode tonight on WKAR-TV. We also had some exclusive footage from Indianapolis as we recapped Michigan State's Big Ten tournament win. And, you know, we went in the locker room, and, you know, it was we actually switched up the intro for the show as well. So you want to catch it tonight. That's 10 o'clock on WKAR-TV. Yes, I know. Scandal comes on tonight. I know there's a lot of Scandal fans out there. I watched the show too, but at least DVR Current Sports. Come on, man. Have my back. Have my back on that, all right? All right, well, let's hit the break, Aaron. When we come back, we're going to give our final thoughts and predictions for the NCAA tourney, as well as argue a little bit on whether or not the NCAA tourney is the greatest sports spectacle that there is. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Hey, 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 what's up, good people? Welcome back to Current Sports. Just some really quick updates. Updates are coming everywhere right now. Of course, the tournament's going on, and PW is playing at the Breslin Center. And I just got two updates on my phone from ESPN Sports Center. Really quickly, the Michigan football team will be suspending offensive lineman Graham Glasgow, I think that's how you say it, yeah, Glasgow, for the opener part of spring practice for an undisclosed violation. And news from the Detroit Tigers, they say that Jose Iglesias is out 4 to 6 months with stress fractures in legs, is unlikely to play in 2014. So again, Michigan suspends offensive lineman Graham Glasgow for the opener of spring practice, and Jose Iglesias will be out 4 to 6 months. And also, PW is in action. Pomona Westphalia, they are taking on Muskegon Heights at the Breslin Center as we speak. Right now, looking at the latest score update, Muskegon Heights is up 23-19 with 3 minutes and 46 seconds left to play in the first half. Again, if PW can pull this off, the winner of this game will play in the Class C state championship title. So that will take place on Saturday. So I'm sure a lot of folks are down at the Breslin right now rooting for PW. The last time I checked on Twitter, it's an absolutely packed student section for the PW Pirates. So wish them all luck in the world. Again, that's 23-19. Muskegon Heights is up in that one. And also, guys, before we dive more into the discussion of the NCAA tourney, I want to remind you all that you can call us right now throughout this entire show. We got about a little less than 30 minutes left with your contribution of $75 or more to WKAR Radio. You can receive this very sexified football right here. Two panels are leather, and two panels are they just commemorating the Rose Bowl victories. You got the Spartan logo. You got every game listed in the score. 13-1 Michigan State Spartans is really nice. Really, really nice souvenir. Again, you can receive this football by calling 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000 to support WKAR's current sports. Again, that's with your contribution of $75 or more. And you can receive this very, very sexified football. So you definitely want to call in and get this thing. It's really, really nice. I wish I had one of these. You got to do it soon, though, because limited supplies. We have limited supplies of these. So there you have it. All right. Let's get right to it. Man, it's a lot happening today, guys. Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, yeah. And before we get to you guys, we have throughout current sports from here on out, we are actually inviting one of our great students who work on the show from Michigan State University who are trying to go into sports broadcasting. We had Omar on yesterday. And also, who do we have today? Introduce yourself.
I'm Alex, and I'm a student at Michigan State working for current sports. So I'm here on the show today.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Alex. Matt, and so we have two Alexes on the show today.
We got
today.
A squared,
baby.
Get a little confusing here, but we can do it.
We can do it. Matt, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right, Al.
You all right?
But I got to be honest.
You're stressing out already about your bracket?
No, I'm a little upset.
Why? What's up?
I didn't get a chance to watch Survivor last night, and it got spoiled in the current sports headliners.
No.
My favorite person on the show gets voted off.
Hold on. So why would that be? I just read it online. I'm like, we got to talk about it. We got to mention that in the headliners. I didn't know that the episode hadn't been released yet.
No, it had. It had. I just missed it last night. I was planning on watching it today.
Oh, no. I spoiled it for you,
it's
man.
It's okay. It's okay. You could see the writing on the wall last week.
You could. I didn't know you were a Survivor guy.
I'm a little ashamed of how big of a Survivor fan I am.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm really sad that Cliff Robinson got the boot.
I spoiled
it for Matt. Hilarious
was
on
he?
The show. Amazing.
He was pretty good?
Amazing.
I did not know that. Okay, well, we had a spoiler alert from Matt, and my bad, brother.
It's okay.
Well,
it happens.
It happens. It does.
It's 2014. I should be used to it by now.
It happened to me with Scandal last week.
See?
So, I don't know. All right, guys. Well, the NCAA tourney is in full effect right now. Ohio State. Oh, man. I might start off this thing with a loss already. It's 43-37. With 12 minutes left to play, Dayton is leading Ohio State. Come on, Ohio State, really?
A lot of time left, Al. Don't
a lot of time, man.
Don't count your eggs yet.
I get really, Tom Izzo on the sidelines during like the NCAA tournament, man. A lot is weighing on my brackets right now. That's why I fill out like 20 of them, dude, okay? I don't play that, man. All right, but anyway, guys, final thoughts on the tourney as we, of course, Michigan State, later on, they will be taking on Delaware at 4:40 p.m., Wofford and Michigan at 7:10 p.m. Guys, we didn't even talk about Western Michigan yesterday, who is also in the tournament playing Syracuse. Final thoughts. I guess I'll reserve my thoughts for last. Alex, you want final thoughts on the tourney? What are you expecting from this tourney?
Yeah, well, final thoughts on it is I actually learned a lesson, Al, and it's don't pick your bracket until the play-in games. A lot of people have done that before. I did one bracket earlier, but man, have I learned to wait until the play-in games because, guys, NC State looks pretty darn good. Tennessee looks pretty good. I mean, it's going to be a very close tourney. But I'm looking to see, from the tourney overall, I'm looking to see a Cinderella team go far. Just like back when George Mason went far. Remember with the Carolina thing a couple years back. I would like to see another Cinderella go to like the Final Four or the Elite Eight or something like that.
So who do you think that would be? What's your bracket look like? Do you have a Cinderella team going
far? I'm gonna. Why don't we move on the mat? I'm gonna load up.
Load up. I want to see who your Cinderella is gonna be. Matt,
I'm just excited that it's here.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and we're gonna get to it later in our discussion. But this is probably my favorite sporting event, just in general.
Me too.
I love the NCAA tournament. It's so fun to watch. I mean, these 2 days and Final Four Saturday are two or three rather of my favorite days of the year. So I'm just excited that it's underway. I'm nervous for Michigan State, but I'm kind of glad they're playing on Thursday because if they win, I can just really sit back and enjoy Friday's action.
Right, just kind of relax a little bit. Yeah.
If they lose, obviously I'll be drawing the shades and just sitting in darkness and being sad
depressed
for a day or two. But other than that, I'm just excited that it's underway.
Alex.
Honestly, my biggest thought about this tournament is the whole MSU bandwagon, and it scares me so much.
Yeah,
everyone just jumped on that bandwagon, and I mean, I have them winning the whole thing, but I was so scared to write it in my bracket because, like, I don't want to jinx the team I'm rooting for over here. So
we talked about it yesterday, Alex. Is the pressure a good thing for the Michigan State basketball team? Do you like it?
I mean, I think it's a good thing in the sense that it can make us play harder, but we were the number one ranked team early on in the season, and the pressure did not do us well. So,
That's very, very true. So only time will tell, gents. Again, that's 4:40 p.m. As MSU will be taking on Delaware. I got to say this, guys. I'm a fan of Monte Ross. He's a funny guy. I don't know if you have sat down and listened to him via radio or online or anything, but he is a character,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, he's funny.
He actually went to school. I didn't know this. He went to school with Stephen A. Smith, and they were basketball teammates in college with each other. I had no idea.
And not just that, but Stephen A. Smith hasn't changed one bit, according to
him, yeah. He hasn't changed one bit. He was the same Stephen A., you know, big mouth, very opinionated. I love Stephen A., listen to him sometimes, but sometimes it can be a headache watching First Take. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Okay. All right, guys. So, Matt, you kind of just opened discussion with your comments. The NCAA tournament. Because for me, when I look at this tournament and I compare it to other sporting events, you know, whether it be the Super Bowl, whether it be, you know, the BCS in college football, whether it be the NBA playoffs, whether it be any sporting event, I always say, and I got into a debate with my boy about this last night because I'm sure he's listening right now because I told him I was going to bring this up. He thinks that the NBA, and he's crazy for saying this, that the NBA, like, conference finals in the playoffs are arguably more entertaining to watch than March Madness. I said, brother, are you on some stuff? I couldn't believe he said it. I have no idea why he said that.
What are his reasonings?
But I've had this debate back, you know, because he talks about the elite. He talks about talent level. He always brings it up. When you're looking at the best of the best basketball players in the world, go at it on the court. And then he brought up Super Bowl, how the Super Bowl was kind of, you know, look at the last Super Bowl. I mean, wasn't entertaining at all. It all depends on matchups when you talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, but you talk about the NCAA tournament, guys. You're one and done. You got all these teams. You got the Cinderella teams who just happen to squeak in the tournament that sometimes go very, very far. You got this one and done format where guys are giving it their all out there for 40 minutes throughout the entire game. There is nothing like it. The drama, the emotion, I love it. To me, I think it's the greatest sports spectacle that's out there.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Think about it. It's the only sports spectacle that's played during the day. Any conference final, any playoff, it's played at night. But during the day, people take off work. People quit work. They'll call in sick today.
I'm quitting my job. It's the NCAA tournament.
Quit their day's worth of work and to sit back and watch NCAA March Madness. They really will. People will check out of work to watch it, and it's the only thing like there.
Well, I think most of us may agree that this may be the greatest sports spectacle out there, but I want to argue a little bit on what would be number two. What would you slide in number two? Well, first of all, do you both agree that this is the greatest sports spectacle out there? Because, like, opening day with baseball is pretty big. I mean, there's some other ones out there, too.
I think it's the best, and I you know, your friend makes the argument about the NBA conference finals.
It's a ridiculous argument.
The only way I can see that being realistic is if both conference finals go to game seven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's that win or go home kind of element that really adds to it. And the other thing, some of these guys, this is the last time they're going to be playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys are not going to go to the pros. Like in the NBA, yeah, you lose, your season's over, but you're coming back the next year. For some of these seniors at a small school who don't have a future playing professional basketball, this is it. You know, this is the end of the line. This is what they've done their whole lives, basically. And you get to see those moments, and you know, sometimes they lose, other times, you know, it's eternal glory with a win, but it's the last time for them to really make a statement athletically, and I think it's a wonderful thing to watch.
I love it, too. Alex?
I'm totally with that. March Madness is the greatest event in all of sports. I mean, you have playoffs for every professional sport. Baseball playoffs are exciting to watch, hockey playoffs, but you lose a game and you're like, oh, I have six more left. The one-and-done format here, you know, it puts everything at stake and it makes it more exciting to watch. Each game counts for something. It's not just like game one of the World Series or something like that.
Exactly. You do have, your season is on the line here, and if you win, you advance and possibly will take home a national championship. There's nothing like it, Alex.
Now, what do you all think about the Olympics?
I like the Olympics. I'm not going to lie.
Great sports spectacle.
Yeah.
I might argue that it might be even more than the
I think the Olympics, as far as the aura of the Olympics, you talk about the world's best athletes competing on the world's biggest stage. against everyone in the entire nation. I mean, well, the entire world, excuse me. This is the best of the best. These are the best athletes in the world going at it. So you definitely, I could definitely see an argument there. I think if you're going to put that in perspective, to put this argument in perspective, I would say that the NCAA tournament is the greatest sports spectacle in American sports. Because arguably, if you look at the World Cup is pretty big internationally as well. When you talk about those international sports that go beyond your typical American sports, then the discussion changes, I think.
Yeah, the discussion changes because of the global scale and because those happen once every 4 years.
Exactly.
If the Olympics happened every year, I think it wouldn't be quite as big of a deal.
But I'd argue that every 4 years, well, really every 2 years because of the winter-summer,
right.
That
right.
might make it even bigger, more build-up, more
excitement.
That's
what I'm saying, but this happens every year, and people are still captivated by it year after year after year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And plus, the Olympics have more than one sport, so it's the greatest sport spectacle.
Right.
I feel like we might have to limit it to a single sport.
If you guys should, if you guys could, in American sports, we all agree just now that the NCAA tournament is the number one greatest American sports spectacle out there. What would you rank number two? For me, looking at this past Super Bowl, I mean, there's sometimes left and right. I mean, it all depends on matchups, and you have games that are just boring and ho-hum. But I definitely have to put Super Bowl at number two for me.
Yeah, Super Bowl or – I don't know. I might have to agree with your buddy and say NBA Conference Finals.
No.
Even over baseball and hockey.
Really?
The reason being is because the way the NBA is – and the way that all the storylines go. Let's look at Kobe Bryant, for example. When he's playing in an NBA playoff, when he's playing in the Western Conference Finals, every single day there's a new type of story, because I think that compared to any sport, there's more media access with the NBA compared to other sports. I just feel like there's a lot more drama.
In what way do you mean media access?
Well, I don't know. I just think that you hear a lot more with professional basketball in terms of players going on certain shows and saying something, or I don't know.
More drama, you mean?
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot more drama, but the drama only starts because of the publications from media to begin with.
Well, I tell you what, don't get me wrong. I love my NBA. You guys know that. And the NBA is my favorite sport. I grew up watching the NBA. I love the NBA with a passion. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I just think the NFL is such a juggernaut and such a powerhouse. I mean, the Super Bowl might as well be its national holiday.
But,
I mean, it's the second biggest food-consuming day next to Thanksgiving, for goodness sake. Commercials pay millions and millions of dollars just to get a spot during the game. I mean, I just think it's bar none that.
Yeah. I just think that the way that I think I could summarize it best is there are probably bigger personalities in the NBA than any other sport. And for that reason, I think that with the big personalities in the NBA, I mean, we could break down every sport. With hockey, the personalities compared to NBA players are very different. You know, way more hard-nosed, gritty. It's probably more of a blue-collar sport.
And that depends on the dynamic of the sport, too, because those guys have on helmets. I mean, out there playing basketball.
The visibility of basketball is unparalleled.
But with that, guys, you get so much more information, so many more quotes, and so many more quarrels because of these big personalities, in my opinion.
So you like the dramatic storylines.
I like the dramatic storylines.
Okay, Matt.
Okay. I think in terms of just spectacle, it's got to be the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like you said, it is basically a national holiday. But in terms of the product on the field, court, rink, I have to go with the NHL playoffs.
Really?
I really do, yeah. There is nothing like an elimination game in the NHL playoffs that goes to overtime.
Right.
There is nothing as stressful as watching a playoff hockey game when it's in sudden death overtime and the next goal wins. I mean, it's
fun.
People stay up all night watching a 5 overtime game between the Blackhawks and the Bruins because
right.
they literally can't leave the TV. Like, it's so compelling. The effort is there. You know the effort's there. We're in the NBA. So basically, they just ratcheted it up for the playoffs. The whole season, they're just kind of mailing it in.
Yeah.
It just seems like the NHL playoffs, it's just pure sport.
I can say that's a good argument. And for me, and this is a guy, you guys know me, I don't watch a lot of hockey, but when the playoffs are, when the playoffs come, I will sit down and watch an entire hockey game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
People who don't
that's
care
saying a
about
lot.
Hockey start to care about hockey.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Alex.
I mean, I love the NHL playoffs. I'm a big baseball girl, so part of me wants to say opening day or baseball
opening
playoffs.
Opening day is big, man.
Opening day is huge. There's like a whole petition to make it a national holiday and everything.
Yeah, people skip class and school. Oh, yeah. You talk about people quitting their jobs, Alex.
Yeah. But I'd have to go with the Super Bowl in terms of getting people rallied around it, because people who don't care about football are invested in the Super Bowl. You have people who don't care about sports at all predicting the score, eating food, hanging out with their friends. So in terms of like a grand event, definitely got to go with the Super Bowl.
Without a doubt. I agree with you. All right, guys. Great takes on that. All right, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on it, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And also, again, we're giving away these great footballs. If you call in and give a contribution to WKAR Radio of $75 or more, you could win, or you will receive one of these Michigan State Spartans 2014 Rose Bowl Game Championship footballs. Again, that's 517-353-5000. A totally different number from here at a call-in segment during Current Sports. Again, that's 517-353-5000. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, it's Thursday. You know what that means, right, baby? Throwback Thursday. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
It isn't easy finding good gluten-free breads, cakes, and cookies. So by popular demand, the cooks at America's Test Kitchen started experimenting to see if they could devise recipes that would taste as good as the wheat versions. Their favorite gluten-free recipes are in their new gluten-free cookbook. We'll talk with the editors Jack Bishop and Julia Collin-Davison on the next Fresh Air.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Yeah, we are jamming each and every Thursday here on Current Sports with some throwback music. Thanks a lot, Aaron, for that. It's really quick. We got an update. The NCAA tournament is going. I cannot talk today, man. 48-47. Ohio State is leading Dayton right now. So they've come back. They have a one-point lead with about 7 minutes left in that game. And Wisconsin has come back also in their matchup with American of 39-24. So they're really rolling now. And Pitt and Colorado have just tipped off. And Pitt is leading Colorado 9-0. 9-0 in that one. And also a quick update, Pomona, Westphalia. They are in the Class C semis right now against Muskegon Heights. And it's halftime. Muskegon Heights is leading PW only by 3, though. 27-24. That is going to come down to the wire, folks. Okay, well, it is Thursday, ladies and gents. Matt, what do we got on this Thursday in the history of sports?
We got a bunch of different things. We'll start out with college basketball. Obviously, today is a day related to college basketball forever. And in 1897, the first intercollegiate basketball game that used 5 players per team was held. The contest was between Yale and Pennsylvania, and Yale won in a blowout by a score of 32-10.
32-10. Oh, my. That's embarrassing. That's pretty bad.
Apparently, had not developed any real offense at
Yale.
That point. Yale. Wow. Yale over Penn.
How about
32
that?
Okay. 10. Interesting. First collegiate game ever. All right, we'll move to 1934. Babe Diedrichson, who was a woman, pitches a hitless inning for the Philadelphia A's in an exhibition game against the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, that's pretty. Babe, what's
Babe
her last name?
Babe Diedrichson.
Diedrichson. Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Eat your heart out, Jenny Finch.
Yeah.
Babe Diedrichson beat you to the punch. Mm-hmm. 1948, the University of Michigan beat Dartmouth to win the first NCAA men's hockey championship. Mm-hmm. So another first there. Moving to 1968. Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia Warriors became the first center in NBA history to lead the league in assists with a total of 702 for an average of 8.5 a game.
Wilt the Stilt, man. One of the greatest of all time, baby.
Bill Russell always accused him of stuffing the stat sheet, being more concerned with that than wins. I think he was right.
He was probably right on that.
Paints a pretty convincing picture. Also in 1968, Dave Bing of the Detroit Pistons mm-hmm. finished the season with a league-leading 27.1 point per game average and became the first guard in 20 years to lead the NBA in scoring.
As my grandma would say, great player, bad mayor.
Yeah, well, that's usually how it goes. Yeah. In 1971, for the first time in NHL history, two brothers faced each other in goal. Ken Dryden of the Canadiens beat Dave Dryden of the Sabres 5-2.
Okay.
So that's like, Archie Manning, the Manning Bulls.
Right.
Just in goal.
I like that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And number six here, we have Roberto Clemente elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. 11 weeks earlier in 1973, he had died in a plane crash. Wow. The usual 5-year waiting period was waived, and he was admitted posthumously to the Hall. Moving ahead to 2005, LeBron James became the youngest player in NBA history to score 50 points in a game. He scored 56 points in a loss to the Toronto Raptors. He was 20 years old and 80 days.
I remember that game.
It actually got broken in 2009 by Brandon Jennings, who was 20 years and 52 days old. So 28 days. He beat him by a month. Mm. We'll keep moving here. 2006. Commissioner Paul Tagliabue announces his retirement from the NFL post. So basically, this was the birth of Roger Goodell.
Oh, wow.
So thanks for that. Thanks for that, Paul Tagliabue.
Great day.
And then finally, 2010, Ali Farouk Manesh. Oh, yeah. Leads Northern Iowa over Kansas, 69-67. He scored 16 points, including a critical three-pointer in the final minute. Northern Iowa shocked everybody that year. Yep. Of course, Michigan State went on to beat them in the next round way to the Final Four.
That was an unbelievable
classic
game.
That was
classic. Throwback Thursday. Thanks a lot, Matt. We have a caller real quick, guys. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, Dave.
Good afternoon, guys. I'll be real quick. The greatest, from an American point of view, the greatest spectacle sport is the Super Bowl. I mean, you have gladiators trying to get a ball over a line. You have corporations dropping billions of dollars for one-minute spots for as far as commercials.
Right.
You have entertainers vying for the halftime entertainment spot. And last, and certainly not least, what makes it the greatest spectacle is you have wives and girlfriends throwing on jerseys just to go with their husbands and boyfriends to the Super Bowl party. That's all I have. Go Spartans.
Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, Dave. Various points are, I mean, you can't argue with any of those guys. I mean, again, the Super Bowl, you know what? We all just agree that the NCAA tournament may be the greatest spectacle of all time. I may have to change my mind, though, when I think about the Super Bowl, though, because the Super Bowl is just, it's the Super Bowl, guys.
But the NCAA tournament,
it's more fun to watch.
It's the only time when the true underdog stories can ever happen.
Yeah, I mean, as far as just
the best stories of sports happen.
As far as what I enjoy watching more, and just, like I said, the Cinderellas and the drama with the last-minute buckets, and there's nothing like March Madness. There's nothing like March Madness.
As much as I agree with what he said,
my mama's not filling out the bracket, though. That's my point here. But my mama watched the Super Bowl.
True. And your mama's also probably the one, you know, going to the Super Bowl party.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dave said.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's where I disagree with Dave is, football players aren't this isn't 300, you know? They're not gladiators.
They're looked at as gladiators.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. I look at football players. I think more so the game has become soft over time. But, yeah, I mean, these guys are killing each other out in the field, man. Yeah. Trying to, you know, put football over a line.
Same with hockey. Same with rugby, I'd argue. It's just as tough. Just a little bit different.
Yeah. I love Mark. Don't get me wrong. We can go back and forth, guys. But I have to go. Yeah, Super Bowl is up
there.
No,
but, yeah, great call by Dave. No,
thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, man. You guys wavering at all? No?
You know, I
kind of see where Dave's coming from.
I don't need to set up 4 televisions to watch the Super Bowl.
You see how college football was this year, man?
You can set up 4 TVs to watch all the games of the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament.
But just
there's
the aura.
Nothing better. I just feel like,
but
you
just
know,
the aura, though, of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah,
man.
The Super Bowl, as far as spectacle goes, sure.
Like,
but
you
as
don't
far
have
as just the event itself.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's
how you separate it.
Better.
Okay, Alex, anything before we leave?
You know, just the length of this NCAA tournament, I think, makes it a greater spectacle than the Super Bowl in general.
I hear you. That's another good
there.
Point. Thank you, Alex. Her radio debut. Thanks a lot. She did very, very well. Thanks a lot, Alex. And thank you to everybody who just tuned in to Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR East Lansing. Again, you can catch Current Sports TV tonight when I sit down with Grand Ledge Gymnastics Coach Dwayne Herring. That's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKR-TV. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.